If you would take out your outlines, there are outlines in your worship guide. A mere 8 pages long this morning. No worries. We'll be able to get through all that. A step-by-step, highly detailed look at the Passion Week of Christ. Some of you are getting comfortable. Hope you brought pillows. Keeping it warm and cozy in here this morning so that you can get some rest. No. I'm just kidding. We sit at the beginning of what is traditionally known as the Passion Week of the Christ. The Passion Week of Jesus Christ, specifically the Christ, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And today is really the beginning of the Passion Week. Now, in our culture, the word passion has kind of been hijacked. It's been hijacked by Twilight and these other schmaltzy, romantic, silly movies that sell kind of, you know, cheap thrills and passion for two people or two undead people or that kind of thing. Probably a deeper meaning of this word passion that you can find really in any dictionary is simply that this is the week when Jesus Christ poured out His most ardent, sincere love for His church. He poured out His love, He poured out His blood for sins and for the salvation of those that have been chosen by God. I mean, what an extraordinary passion we get to celebrate. This is when Jesus Christ took all that He was and poured it out as an offering onto that Holy of Holies that we've been studying in the Holy of Holies, onto the altar in front of God to make atonement or payment for all the sins of all mankind. There is no more significant week that exists for the Christian than this week that we are entering into. This is it. This is the singular most important week in the whole of history to understand. The whole Bible comes down to this moment. Everything in the Old Testament comes down to the moment of Jesus Christ making this sacrifice. Everything in the New Testament flows out of this moment that Jesus Christ accomplishes in His Passion Week. We oftentimes will focus on the empty cross on Easter Sunday, next Sunday. And right that we should. But the week that leads up to it will teach us more about the character of God, more about the character of Christ, more about how we find our security in the Holy Spirit and in God Almighty than any other week of the year. And an earnest study of this week can be life-changing. I've told you this before. There is nothing that is more motivating or passionate to me than walking through this week with Jesus Christ. When I think of my life standing at the foot of the cross with Jesus Christ being crucified, when I picture myself there, when I see those images in my head, when I contemplate the words that are in Scripture, when I am gripped by all that this scene that is spelled out in the Word of God portrays to us, it draws out in me some of the deepest and most meaningful moments I have ever had with God. This is the week. And the Gospels tell us that. Look at your outlines. We should probably get started. It has been noted that the accounts of the life of Jesus the Christ, which are the Gospels, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, are really passion narratives. Now remember, whenever I mention passion this morning, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about the sufferings of Christ that occur the last week of His life. His pouring out of Himself as an offering on our behalf. These are all, the Gospels are all passion narratives or passion stories with extended introductions. In other words, there's a little bit of introductory material, and then we're going to get into the Passion Week. This bears itself out statistically. Matthew has almost 30% of the book is dedicated to just this 1 week of Jesus Christ's life. Mark, almost 40%. Luke, an entire quarter of his book is dedicated. And look at the book of John. Half of the book of John is about the Passion Week of Jesus Christ. I mean, this was by far the most significant and most important part of the story to all of the disciples, to all of the gospel writers, to everyone in Christendom. All you had to do was just take a little statistical cursory outlook at this week, and you would find with the gospel writers that they were inspired to place a special emphasis, letter B, on this singular week of Christ's life. This week which led to His crucifixion and to His resurrection. There is no more important week for the Christian than this, the Passion Week of Christ. Could I invite you, possibly for the first time, hopefully you've done this before, could I invite you to walk through this week day by day the same way that Jesus Christ did? What I'm providing for you in this extensively long outline that we will not go all the way through today, what I'm going to try to provide to you today is the opportunity to walk through this week day by day with Jesus Christ. On the Saturday, Sunday, I'll explain what that means in just a second, of the Passion Week, will you read that day's stuff? And will you consider the things that I ask you to consider? Will you, most importantly, will you read the Word of God yourself at home or at Starbucks or wherever it is that you hang out? And will you walk through this week day by day? I'll kind of guide you through a little bit of what that means. But I want to invite you to walk through the Passion Week with Jesus Christ over the course of this Easter week. I think it will be a profound experience for you. You will understand your own salvation. You will understand Jesus Christ and your relationship to Him much better if you will simply take the time to keep this outline with you this week. Throw it in your Bible. Put it in a place where you're going to see it every day. All right? So some of you, that means you got to keep your Bible elsewhere. All right? That means you got to put it in a place you're always going to see. All right? Next to your cereal in the morning or, you know, in your bathroom or somewhere that you're going to be every day. All right? The front seat of your car. I don't know. Wherever that is, put it there. And that'll give you the opportunity to walk through this week with Jesus. Could I invite you even to walk through this week with Jesus, whenever morning time is for you, all right? Whenever the early part of the day is for you, whenever you're coherent enough, post cup of coffee, and you can understand reading and that kind of thing, try to download the information then and let it color your whole day. Let it affect who you are. Let it impact the whole of your interactions with other people. I truly believe if we could see Jesus as He's truly presented right here in the Gospels, we could see the way that He sacrificed for others. Right. If we could see that He was perfect and owed us nothing and gave us everything, it would affect the way that we treat each other. It would affect the way that husbands talk to their wives and wives respond to their husbands. It would affect the way that you function at work. It would mark your friendships. It would change the things that you consider in your heart and in your head. It would completely revamp your life. Why? Simply because Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. What He does on this week are the most extraordinary things that He does in His entire life. Could I invite you to engage it in a brand new way? Could I invite you to walk through this Passion Week by walking with Jesus through this, the climactic week of His life? Now, I want to give you some helpful background, so turn the page to number two. There's a microscopic chart on there. For those of you that are under the age of 12, you'll be able to read that. It's important. As you're reading through the Passion Week of Christ, it is easy to get totally confused about the day that you're in and the times that you're in. And in the New Testament, they're always referring to these funny time periods like, you know, during the second watch of the night. And it sounds very, you know, odd, and it doesn't sound normal to us. And that's because in the Jewish mindset, and really the ancient mindset, there was daytime and there was nighttime. And it was split into two even periods of time. Daytime was split into 12 periods of time, and nighttime was split into 12 periods of time. So they always had 24 somethings. They called them hours, but it was really just 24 separations of time. But if daytime was shorter, it was still 12 of those. If nighttime was shorter, it was still 12. Like, they just broke it in half, whatever it turned out to be, and they broke it into 12 pieces, which is why time was not very important, all right, in the New Testament. And that's why sometimes we get very broad generalities. Further, well, I should read this. I did bother to write it, so I should probably read it. The times which we deal with in Scripture are really different. Okay, for the Hebrews, the day was just split into 24 divisions or hours, 12 in the day, 12 in the night. There were always 12 hours a day. There were always 12 hours a night. An hour just simply meant 1/12 of that portion. All right, of the day. It was either 1/12 of the daytime or 1/12 of the nighttime. The Hebrew day was 24 hours long, but it began at sunset and it ran through the next sunset. So at 4 in the afternoon, right? What would that be like for you and me?
Looks over.
It'd be like midnight. It'd be like just a couple hours before, you know, the sun goes down. And then after the sun goes down, after sunset, it's the next day. And that's really hard for us to get our heads around. All right? But they just... And it's easy for us to go, well, golly, they just had it all backwards and sideways and stuff. Okay, well, they were first, so we screwed it up. All right, so that the way we measured time is different than the way they measured time. We measure it strictly on a clock, an atomic clock, actually. And but the Hebrew day was different, so the measurements in Scripture are different. So if you're walking through this week and you're reading and you start reading things like, you know, and then. That day was Friday before, but that could be Thursday for us, and that kind of thing. So don't be confused by all of this. Don't be torqued by the fact that Western, that's us, days, and biblical day are different in their measurement. Because those were measured, ours are measured midnight to midnight, theirs were measured sunset to sunset. You might notice some divergence in how the days are identified. Now you know why. Now you are also a Bible geek. Like me, all right? Because now I explain it to you. So there you go. It's also important to note that Jesus and his disciples spent the entire Passion Week staying in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany. The whole Passion Week is them getting up in the morning and walking out of Bethany. And then every night, they would walk back to Bethany. So it's good to know that Bethany is located just 2 miles from Jerusalem. So they were just walking a couple miles in and out of town. And there is a little hill that is in between Bethany and Jerusalem, and it's called the Mount of Olives. You may have heard of it. Okay, Jesus Christ sometimes would sit on the Mount of Olives with all the people that were following him around, and he would teach them. In fact, there's a whole sermon that's in the Bible called the Olivet Discourse, which is just simply a teaching that he does on the Mount of Olives. It's located in between Bethany and Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if you know where it is on a map. Just know, here's Bethany, this little tiny hill called the Mount of Olives, and here's Jerusalem. That's all you got to really know, okay? The reason Jesus and his disciples have come to Bethany and will travel into Jerusalem each day, letter D, is for the Passover feast. Now, we do know something about that because we've been studying the book of Exodus. The Passover feast is going to occur at the end of the week. We know that from John 12:1. The Passover was the memorial feast of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. You'll recall that, remember? When the angel of death passed over everyone who had blood on the doorposts of their family home. This was a Passover from the 10th plague, that death of the firstborn son. And by the blood of the Lamb, you were saved. When the blood of the Lamb marked your home or marked your life, you were saved from death and saved unto God. That's vivid imagery as we approach this week. Now, good news, I'm done with my outline. All right? The rest of it is now for you. All right? Number 3 all the way through number 8, we're not talking about this morning. Okay? So you can breathe a huge sigh of relief. You can hardly believe it. We're actually done early. Here's my appeal to you, though. The first day, this Saturday, Sunday, the beginning of Passion Week, that is today. So what I would like you to do is to go through letter A all the way through letter I, especially pay attention to letter H. That's a little application for you. I tried to work that in on a daily basis. I want to invite you to go through this. Maybe go through it at lunch with each other. A bunch of you go to lunch together. Talk about it over lunch today. Work your way through it. Read the scriptures out loud to one another. Risk being overheard by the people next to you. I know that like freaks some of you out, makes you feel like, oh, well, maybe we're offending them and that kind of thing. You're not. All right, go ahead. Lean out there a little bit. Share Jesus Christ. Admit that you're a Christian. That kind of thing. I sat down at Starbucks this morning. A couple that I have seen in Starbucks 20 times. I had a good friend visiting from out of town, and she was bringing the gospel to her friends this morning. And I just folded my Bible shut. I closed. I had the sports page out from the LA Times too. I closed that. And I just sat there and prayed for this girl for like 10 minutes that she would represent Jesus Christ well in that moment. I hope you will have that opportunity because Jesus poured his life out on your and my behalf. We can talk about him. We can admit to knowing him. We can share about what he's done in our lives. We can live out this baptism that we saw this morning. The baptism that so many of us have experienced. That we died to the old. And that we are brought back to life in the new. And the same way that Jesus Christ died and went into the grave, we will be resurrected with him. In the same fashion that he was. Brought back to true life forever in relationship with God. Why? Because of this Passion Week. Can I just finish on one last note? Thursday of the week, you'll see it in here. It's the day that comes right after Wednesday. That was a joke. Just want to see if you're awake. Number 7 there. We call it Maundy Thursday. Maundy is a word that we would never use modernly. It's an ancient Latin word, and it's from a word called mandatum, which sounds a little bit more like something like mandate and that kind of thing. And it's a new commandment is what it's celebrating. Mandatum means command in Latin. And Thursday is the day of the week that Jesus Christ goes up into the upper room, and he has a meal with his disciples, and we're going to celebrate that this Thursday. We're going to have a meal together over in our gymnasium. And I sure hope you get to be here because we're going to celebrate that new commandment. The new commandment I give you that you would love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus Christ says to us, so I want you to love one another in a unique and in a special kind of way. I want you to love one another. It says in another passage, you know, that the whole world will know that we are his disciples. Why? Because of this unique love that we have for one another. This was unlike any command that had been given before. We were told to love our neighbors. We're told to love each other. But this was, I want you to love one another in a unique and a special and significant way. This is my commandment to you. When they translated it into Latin, it was, this is my mandatum to you. So we know that Thursday when he goes to the upper room with his disciples and they're celebrating the Passover meal, we call that Maundy Thursday. And we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate what Jesus Christ gave to us as a command. And as we celebrate that command, Jesus Christ, the first thing that he did, he stood up and he wrapped that funny looking cloak that they wore. He wrapped it around his legs and he got down on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of his disciples. He took the role of a servant and washed the feet of his disciples. And we're not going to do any foot washing on Thursday. You don't need to freak out or go out and get a pedicure. But What I do want to emphasize to you is we're going to talk about what it means to be washed clean by Jesus. There'll be some water elements that are a part of our Thursday night service that we have together. It should be very accessible for your whole family. It's okay to bring your friends to. We're not going to do anything like spiritually wacko that will embarrass you. It'll all be perfectly explicable, in other words. I want to encourage you during this season. Jesus Christ poured himself out on our behalf. Will you walk through this week with him? Will you celebrate in all that he has given to us, to you, to his people, for his Father? This is the week that we celebrate him pouring out his passion. Will you be here for Maundy Thursday? We've been taking signups for weeks. This is our last day that we can take signups. So if you haven't signed up, if you haven't signed up your family, if you haven't signed up a friend, maybe a friend that you don't even know who they are yet, but you just know, God, you're going to lay them in my path. I'm going to invite them this week. I don't know who they are. Then make sure that you go out to that table and get yourself signed up. Quit sitting in this church being a spectator. He paid the debt that no one else could pay. I am like most guys. When I read the newspaper, I've got two primary sections of the newspaper that I want to read. I love to read the sports page, and I love to read the comics. That's it. All right, the rest of it is interesting to me. I read it. I stay up to date on the news and stuff. But the two bits of the newspaper that I've absolutely got to read when I see one, I want to see that sports page, and I want to see the comics. There was an old comic strip that I don't think it's being written anymore. It's called BC. A lot of you that are my age and older will remember the BC comic strip. Great comic strip. Really, really funny. A couple of cavemen. It's actually several, but a couple of key cavemen. There's this one conversation they were having between these two old cavemen. And one asks the other, why do we call it Good Friday? Have you ever thought about that? Why we call it Good Friday, the day that Jesus Christ is crucified? You know, well, that's good. Oh, that's bad. Like, that's a horrible, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, that movie where they try to depict it, and they kind of come close. They kind of miss it. But they get some of the gore that was involved in the Roman, with the Roman centurions and that kind of thing. Well, this one caveman asked the other caveman, why do we call it Good Friday? It's the day a man was hung on a cross to die. The other caveman says, well, let me ask you this. If you were supposed to die on that Friday, and that man took your place and he died for you, what would you call that? First caveman's thoughtful. He says, well, I'd call that good. Exactly. Exactly. It's good. Yes, it is good. This is why we celebrate such a horrible event. And we don't call it Bad Friday. We don't call it the worst day in the history of mankind. We call it the greatest day. Why? Because on that day, Jesus, by his own blood, paid a debt that you and I could never pay. Jesus Christ paid it all so that you and I could truly know God. Would you take this week, would you take the tools that are in your hands right now, just use that outline, and would you walk through this Passion Week with Jesus Christ? Would you join us on Thursday so that you can also celebrate the new commandment that Jesus gave us in the upper room? We're going to give you some more materials for the weekend called the Scattering, which we've given the last couple of years. That as Jesus and the Roman cohort take him off into jail, all of his disciples and all of his friends just scatter. They scatter into the darkness. And so rather than meet on Good Friday, we're going to scatter ourselves. But we've got some things to read during that time. And then would you come back next Sunday? Like Brian said, I don't care what gets you and your friends here. If it's breakfast, great. If it's that they never come to church and it's Easter Sunday, super. Would you be here next Sunday? Easter Sunday, 9 o'clock, 10:30. Bring a friend. Let's hear the great news of the gospel. What is that news? It's right there. It's right there in your outline, front page. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He appeared to many. And we celebrate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ next Sunday morning. Will you be here? Will you be present? Will you walk through this week with Him? That's my invitation to you. The worship team is going to come up right now. And we're going to get an opportunity to kind of make commitments this morning. We're going to get an opportunity to commit ourselves into walking with Jesus through this week. And obviously get an opportunity to just respond to the wonder of this morning's service. We've seen many lives committed this morning to Jesus Christ that have publicly confessed their faith in Him. As we come together to worship Him, as we come together to sing, could I encourage you to just thank God for what all this represents, that He is the one that came and gave His life on our behalf so that we could have a relationship with God. He accomplished everything. Let's stand and worship Him together.